Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. Our guests this evening are Carol Wingard and Mr. 2020. The topic fascinates me, and because we're going to be discussing the sacred tobacco plant. Now, we nurses are pretty hard on tobacco users, but I love learning a different perspective on these and all matters. Joining me now is Joan Adams.
Hello,
hi, Joan.
Kate. How are you?
Good. Very good. I know that you have a special interest in this topic this evening.
Indeed, I do. And I'm excited about it.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's going to be fun to hear what they have to say about the evil weed tobacco, as I've always been told.
Really? Maybe that's not a good way to look at it.
No, it isn't. It absolutely is not. You know, I do love the cigarettes, so, and I know it's not good for me, but I might just hear something good about it. So.
Yeah, I would guess. I'm guessing that there's something a little bit different about this.
I think they aren't so many chemicals in what they're talking about, I'm sure.
Oh,
but,
right on, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll hear
okay.
The truth here.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Hello, Carol and Mr. 2020.
Good evening, Kate. Good evening, Joan.
Good evening,
listeners.
Yeah. So you're going to educate us some more.
I'm just going to share what I know and just watch the light show. You know, it's all good.
It is all
yeah.
good. That's wonderful. And I
well,
did get my. Let me tell. Is Carol on?
Carol's in the other room. She'll be joining us shortly to say hello, but she's running around doing what Carol does. It's the first day of the new year this year, so she's just doing what she does. I think she's going to say hello right now real quick.
Good. Hey, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great. Good. Wanted to tell you I got my book, and I love it.
Oh, I'm glad.
Carol's journal called Reflections of Unity. And it is beautiful. I sent you a note earlier, but I don't think you got it. But
yeah, I got it, but I didn't get a chance to write back.
That's great, as long as you got it. But it is perfectly beautiful. So
awesome.
Thank you.
And, yeah, that's available on Lulu, right? And we need to put that link in the chat room somehow.
Good.
Yeah.
Right on.
Because it is a beautiful book I'm holding for my birthday. I'm not going to write in it until my birthday. But
yeah, you and I share a birthday, don't we?
You and I do, yes. I think we do.
Absolutely.
April 1?
Yep.
Yep, we do.
When's
share
Carol's
a birthday?
Carol is June 19th.
Okay. We're 3 months away.
Absolutely.
Hey, I need to... kind of lay a foundation here. I was talking to my brother last night, who is probably listening because he just loves this topic as well. And I told him what we were going to be discussing, and he said, that Pocahontas' husband in Virginia had taken the sacred tobacco plant and then adapted it in such a way that it became massively produce it, and then it became the substance that it is now, and made the white man a lot of money, et cetera, especially in Virginia. And I don't know if that would be part of something you know about or not.
Yeah, no, I've been told different things like that, so I would find it very believable. And
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would not disagree with that. You know, tobacco. You ever notice that sometimes in school, I had a cousin. His name was Sean. And as a little boy, Sean was a little ornery, but he wasn't bad. And long story short, at one point, Sean started being blamed by the teachers for doing things that he wasn't doing. And you know what happened to him, right? You know, if he got blamed enough for doing things he wasn't doing, he actually started doing bad things.
Oh, yeah.
And in a way, tobacco is almost like my cousin Sean, because, you know, any plant can be abused. And literally, you know, any really just about anything can be abused. About almost anything can be harmful. But tobacco has a lot of really neat gifts for us. And you know, I'd like to share some of those tonight, as well as some of the philosophy around tobacco. But you know, like we were talking last time on the show about the sacred plant teachings, every plant has a purpose, and tobacco is a plant. And tobacco has a purpose, and you know, if we respect that purpose and use tobacco the way it's designed to be used, it does give something to us, which is very, very precious.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, where would y'all like to dive in?
Jump. You're doing great.
How about the purpose that you were just referring to tobacco?
Tobacco is traditionally looked at by most. Well, I can't say by most, by many Native American elders and tribes, as the plant of the East. The East is the time of spring. It's the time when the sun comes up. It's associated with the eagle, with inspiration, with Thanksgiving. Literally, if we're going to talk about the purpose of tobacco, tobacco is the plant of honoring. Tobacco is the plant of creation. Tobacco is the plant of, let's say, new beginnings. And if we hold that in mind when we're using it, when we're smoking it, it really begins to make sense. You all have heard of Mark Twain, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Twain used to smoke up to 20 cigars per day. You know, Winston Churchill was always seen with a cigar. If you look at the number of people that are not Native Americans that have used tobacco, or let's say a lot of the creative geniuses that have used tobacco in the past 100, 150 years, it really begins to help you understand something. You know, the Indians knew that tobacco enhanced creativity and enhanced healing. And if you study what tobacco does, you know, there was a really good book called The Da Vinci Method. And in The Da Vinci Method, it actually states that there is a percentage of the population that needs to be smoking tobacco or drinking yerba mate tea, for example, because those two plants, especially for this 10% of the population, dramatically increase our theta brainwaves and our alpha brainwaves. And those are so needed for healing and creativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that with yerba mate for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So if we're going to start with tobacco, the main thing that we want to start out with is understanding if there's an opportunity to give thanks, and there's always an opportunity to give thanks, tobacco is the plant that we want to use. If we approach an elder to ask to learn something, we present tobacco. If we experience a birth, if we experience a gift, we share tobacco or smoke tobacco. Tobacco is literally called the thank you plant. And that leads us into the purpose of tobacco.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm sure that the tobacco that was used by the American Indian is nothing like what we see today, even the cigars that people smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. It's different.
Well, you know, I grow tobacco up here in Pennsylvania. Right now, within about 2.5 feet away from me on my left is a little planter full of about 48 little potential tobacco seedlings. And, you know, when I grow, this is old tobacco. This is native tobacco. And when I grow it, you know, the leaves are about half the size of commercial tobacco. And, of course, it was smoked differently. It wasn't rolled into cigars or smoked in cigarette form. It was smoked in pipes in a very specific way. But the leaf is smaller. And since the leaf is smaller, it's not as commercial. So there's definitely a more of a personal feel to it and more of a, like a wild plant. You know, we eat literally what most people would consider wild broccoli. And the flower heads on what we would call wild broccoli are very, very small compared to broccoli you buy in a store. But you only need a handful of those, and you're full. I mean, literally, we eat for nutrition. And when you eat a handful of those little broccoli heads, you're full. Yeah, versus you could probably eat a whole head of commercial broccoli.
Mm-hmm. And where did you get your little plant? Where did you get the tobacco? In other words, the seeds that you grow have been passed along probably to you.
Yes. Yes, I have some seed which was given to me. I also have some seed that I found online and actually ordered. I don't even remember where I found it at. But, literally the... You can buy, if you Google tobacco seed, you can actually buy tobacco seed. And mm-hmm. if you start right now, you still got plenty of time to get your little sprouts and get it growing real well for you.
Mhm. Mhm. Wow, that is fascinating. And
so,
it's just amazing that there's such a sacred, ritualistic past to it.
But, if we met, one of the things that we would do if we decided to get to know one another would be to sit down and smoke tobacco together. And in the process of doing that, instead of asking each other a lot of questions or networking, I used to be a professional networker. I actually belonged to an organization, and I trained people how to network. And I had to quit because it actually started to drive me nuts because you can't really make a science out of relating to people. You can, but it's not a good thing. So, literally, if you're networking, you got a little formula people follow. One of them is called form. You ask about their family, their occupation, their recreation, and then you move on. That's one way to work a room, but it's not a good way to get to know people. But if we're going to sit together and enjoy tobacco, we're definitely going to definitely invest anywhere from 25 minutes to an hour together, mostly in silence. Mm-hmm. And literally sitting with someone, sharing tobacco in that way, that allows you to really check within. You have to turn within, notice your body, notice your spirit, notice what's showing up, and it allows you to really get to know yourself as well as that other person.
Mm-hmm. So that, all right, but you have a special place too, don't you, that you all go to smoke your cigars?
We've got a smoking tent out back, and literally it's on our deck. Up here in Pennsylvania up until about a week ago, we had one of the worst winters, or let's say most intense winters, that we've had in a long, long time. And literally we go out back usually once a day or so and smoke cigars. And it's sort of a shortcut for us, versus like smoking a traditional pipe, which would take some preparation. But literally, we take some time every day, go out to the tent, smoke cigars, focus on what we're thankful for, and literally watch the creative ideas show up. And it is truly miraculous what happens when you do that.
I can imagine, yeah.
Is that because of the silence you're saying, or because of the tobacco, or a combination of the above?
Combination of both. If we're smoking cigars, we do carry on a fair amount of conversations. We do sit there quiet somewhat, but we also talk and share whatever ideas are showing up. It's sort of like a mastermind meeting as well, just what Carol and I do. If we can both be in somewhat of a funk or a little bit fuzzy-headed or whatever, but if we take the time and we're thankful and silent with the tobacco, literally, after 5, 10, 15 minutes, you can feel the creativity shift, and very, very cool. Traditionally, it was said that tobacco carries your prayers to the Creator, and it also carries the creativeness of the Creator back to you. And that could have been their way of basically saying, look, tobacco is how we let go of what's been weighing us down so that we can experience those brain waves that soothe us and heal us and help us to connect with, you know, the creative force that is a such an essential part of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wasn't there some wonderful quote, and I forget which Indian, I think this Indian said it, that the white man goes into the church to talk to God, but the American, but the Indian goes into the teepee to talk with God. And I said, and I imagine me now that the tobacco plant had a lot to do with talking with God. And maybe, was that part of what the peace pipe is?
You know, the peace pipe is an interesting concept. Different tribes have different names for the pipe, but generally, it was never called the peace pipe in the old days. You know, the peace pipe, it's a fascinating thing because if we're smoking this plant that we call the thank you plant, and so we take the time, Carol and I sometimes we play a game with this, by the way, so we'll be smoking and literally we'll go back and forth mentioning what we're thankful for. And we can be thankful for each other, for the cigars, for the tobacco smoke, for the kitten, because we have kittens outside that come and play with us, so on. So we start to smoke, and we basically talk about what we're thankful about, and then we get a little bit silent. And, you know, I just forgot your question. I apologize. What was your question, Kate?
She was talking about
the peace pipe.
Oh, yes.
The peace pipe, yes.
And so, you know, when you're thankful, you can't help but be at peace. So if you're thankful for what you have, if you're honest, the question that I often pose to people is, what if you wanted what you have?
Mm-hmm.
What if you were thankful for what you have? What if you actually wanted what you have?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, suddenly we would have less wars because you would have people not going out and, you know, and taking things off of other people. Suddenly, you know, you would be at peace inside. So if we smoke the pipe, if we smoke tobacco, we experience inner peace just because we're focusing on gratitude, smoking tobacco, which generates the healing and the creative brain waves, the alpha and the theta. And if we smoke it with each other, with people from the neighboring tribes perhaps, or people from the neighboring lands, and we experience that together, we begin to associate that with each other. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. Tobacco literally, it allows us to be together, not just do things together. And so when we think about peace pipe and concepts like that, you know, literally we're starting with that gift of gratitude and with those gifts of creativity and healing. And whether we're smoking it by ourselves or with a small group or with people that we want to become peaceful with, the shifts just automatically start to happen like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, because, and we were just on the last show talking about front porches and how we've lost something when we lost our front porches. But
absolutely.
Isn't it the same thing? It's a matter of communicating on a less than hurried basis. You know, a calm, quiet afternoon sitting on the porch rocking, you know.
Yes.
People used to rock for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Hours.
You know, we go over to our friend Granny Earth's home, and, you know, Granny will smoke her pipe, or she'll, you know, smoke a cigar sometimes, and we'll smoke our cigars. And literally, we'll spend, you know, hours. Yes, just sitting together, let's say a fair amount of the time we're actually smoking some tobacco in some form. And it's absolutely amazing, the ideas and the connectivity that shows up and the friendship that evolves, because we're not just going outside and, you know, maybe just burning a cigarette and running back to work, or we're not just passing in the night, or we're not using that little formula to extract information from somebody so they feel comfortable with us, all that crap. we're actually getting to know each other, and it's so cool.
And I think we've gotten in such a big hurry, just in general, in society in general, that we've forgotten how to just enjoy each other's company.
Well, you know,
just to be.
There was a little Italian community here in Pennsylvania. It was more toward Kate's area of the woods than ours, but I believe it was called Loreto. And Loreto was known for the people dying of old age. They didn't die of cancer. They didn't die of heart disease. They literally died because their bodies were wearing out. And when they analyzed this community, because they compared this community with the other communities around it, and literally, you know, they discovered, okay, a lot of the people from the community came from the same region of Italy. And so they went back to Italy, and they checked out things back there, and they came back here, and they tracked people who came from the same region of Italy that lived elsewhere in the United States and elsewhere even in Pennsylvania. And they found that they were dying of typical diseases like heart disease, cancer, hypertension, so on and so forth. But this little community, I believe it was Loreto in Pennsylvania, they were literally, men in that community were dying of old age. That was it. They were just wearing out and then dying. And what they eventually worked it out to, I believe there were it was close to 10 or 20 years of studies done on this community. What they discovered the reason for their health was the fact that they had community.
Right.
Yeah, they had multi-generations living under the same roof. They had neighbors. I mean, you couldn't take a walk down the street without sitting on people's porches and really connecting and sharing what was going on. Right. And that made all the difference. Yeah, I don't know if they smoked tobacco or not, but they found some excuse to sit around and be with one another and to be grateful for who and what they were. So
without an agenda.
Without an agenda.
Without
there's
an agenda. Just
you know, when you mentioned the peace pipe and smoking tobacco, yeah, you know, one of the worst things you can do is do a pipe ceremony with an agenda. Yeah, you may want to have an intention, but you don't want to have an agenda. And the intention should always be to serve. You know, when I talk to people and they say, well, you know, tobacco causes cancer and all this stuff, and they get all worked up about it, and it's like, look, you know, us Indians, we've got an approach that's different. You know, we may smoke with an intention for healing or to discover how I'm meant to serve or what our relationship is supposed to be and so on and so forth, but we don't smoke with the prayer of help my baseball team win, give me $1 million. Just a little side note there, because prayer is powerful, and if we pray with agenda, you know, it can get us in trouble. Versus if we just pray with intention, you know, when I hear like a family member is sick, I pray for the highest good. You know, I don't pray for them to get well. I don't pray for them not to get well. I pray for the highest good. You know, hold them in light. I pray for the highest good. I don't know what the highest good is, but I can have an intention for that and let, you know, this whole vastness take care of that with prayers.
Yes, that reminds me of the Pray Rain Journal.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Good Vibe Coach on one time, and she talks about, on this show, the Moon and You show, and she talked about the Pray Rain Journal, which has to do with not praying for rain, but just praying rain. If somebody has had a drought, that instead of praying for something, you would just actually sit there and visualize the rain on your skin, the rain on your face, and tasting it, feeling it, listening to it, and touching it and all that, and just using all your senses to imagine it. And it then rains.
But
it
you become,
rain.
Yeah, like becoming the rain, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if we call tobacco the thank you plant, and we're praying with it for the highest good, for the weather to normalize, for, you know, we were looking at potentially severe flooding here in Connellsville over the weekend, and, you know, severe, severe flooding. And I did pray about it, you know, while we're smoking and while I'm just enjoying a little bit of tobacco, I prayed. And I prayed for the highest good. I prayed, and again, you know, that's my intention. I also hold in mind, yeah, everything working out for the best, because I have friends that live along the river, and I give thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a big key, because if you're going to see the rain having been here, and it's sort of like I enjoy Neville Goddard, And one of the things Neville talks from is coming from the stage of it having already happened. And if we're going to pray with that type of work, you know, literally, what better way to do it than to pray giving thanks? And I pray giving thanks for the highest good for my uncle who's currently ill. Yeah, I pray giving thanks, knowing that the highest good has already been done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we do the same thing when it comes for rain, if we do it for prosperity, again, I pray for the highest good, you know, not just for the money. I pray for the highest good, for prosperity to function in my life as it needs to, and I give thanks. Yeah, tobacco being the thank you plan, I just give thanks, knowing that it's already been heard, it's already in process, it's already on some level done.
Yes, because it is.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a caller on the line, a 901 area code. Let's just see who that person is. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, how are you all?
Welcome to the show. Who are we speaking with?
This is Lanise. I'm calling from Memphis.
Welcome. Hi, Lanise.
Hello, Lanise.
I'm really taking in all this insight and enjoying the show.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are so glad.
Yes.
Do you have any questions about or any insights about the sacred nature of tobacco?
No, I'm just listening. I experienced it. Went to a pipe smoking situation one time, and I didn't really get it then, but I'm getting more now because I hadn't heard anything about it since then. Thinking about trying it.
Good.
Yes. What type of tobacco would you recommend?
For gifting or for smoking?
Just for to give thanks and to, you know, advance my consciousness or for peace or.
Cool. You know, I often walk around with a little pouch full of cigarette or pipe tobacco. And pipe tobacco right now costs about a third of what cigarette tobacco costs. So oftentimes I'll have a little bit of that with me because, for example, you know, even if you're not smoking tobacco, some people don't want to smoke, and that's cool. Let's say I'm out walking along my home here, and I'm harvesting some plants for my daily food or some plants for medicine. I'll stop, you know, while harvesting or even before harvesting most of the time, and I'll take a little pinch of tobacco out and offer it, to the creator, to the plant itself, because of the harvesting that I'm going to be doing. So if you want to play with that, that could be really, really cool because, I think a bag of pipe tobacco right now is probably about $10 or so, and it'll last you a long time. So if you carry a little bit of that in a pouch that you have or that you make, you could always just offer a little bit of that whenever you're giving thanks for, you know, whatever, you know. And what's really cool, even if you don't smoke it, just smelling it, you know, while you're giving thanks, that almost acts like an anchor or a trigger. And in my mind, it really does seem to activate something in the body that helps us to more fully experience and express that gratitude because we're doing something physical with something that's been known for thousands of years to the Native Americans to be associated with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just a standard pipe tobacco is what you're saying.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to, if you're drawn to smoke something again, you know, there's a personal choice there. Do you want to get something which is organic or something which is not organic? Cigars showed up in my life a little bit in a weird way. It was a few years ago that I decided on January 1st to smoke for peace, and literally I committed to smoking one cigar every day for peace. And I knew nothing about cigars. And what was really, really cool about that is, you know, as I started to study cigars, I found that cigars generally are one of the purest forms of tobacco by the way that they're treated, the way the cigar is aged, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I just found it to be a pretty cool coincidence. I decided to smoke intentionally for world peace and for personal peace, one cigar a day, and it turns out that the kind of tobacco I decided to smoke, which was cigars, was probably one of the better processed ways of using tobacco in today's world.
Mm-hmm. We have a really neat little tobacco store here in Lancaster called the Muse Tobacco Store, and it's an unusual store. It's been around for years and years and years, and you can go in and buy organic tobacco, and
I think
you have to roll it. And it has, as I recall, an American Indian on it. So that's interesting. It's been years since I've been in there and even asked for it, or asked to look at it or whatever.
I have a friend that has smoked. I'm trying to think of the name of that. Maybe Carol will remember. There's a type of organic tobacco. You can buy it loose or in cigarette form. It's organic, and it does have a Native American on the front. I wish I remembered what it was. But if you smell it when it burns, it actually smells better than most commercial cigarette tobacco.
Yeah. Joan,
yeah.
I'm going to bring some when I come to South Carolina.
Well, it's real interesting because Bev is asking on the chat if she can use the tobacco that she rolls cigarettes with to also use to give thanks. And I told her
Absolutely.
That's what I understood. That is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So, yeah, I've never rolled my own, but it's always time to learn.
You know what's really cool? Now, this is something well worth thinking of. In commercial cigarettes, I see two problems with commercial cigarettes that I'll toss out real quick. One, the chemicals that are added in. And two, and this is the one that most people don't really think about, the filter on a commercial cigarette,
American Spirit
is the tobacco we were just talking about.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Carol is awesome. So we have the chemicals that's in a lot of commercial tobacco we want to be aware of. But the second thing is the nature of the filter itself. The filter that's on most cigarettes is a composite of fiberglass and paper. And if you study what, if you look at the lungs of a cigarette smoker, oftentimes you will find fiberglass particles in them. And so literally, again, something that we might want to think about, the filter that we think is holding all the tar out and everything out and everything else, my personal experience with organic tobacco is that there's less tar and less residue than in commercial tobacco. But so we put all that stuff in commercial tobacco, and then we put a fiberglass and paper filter at the end that actually could be very, very harmful. So if you're rolling your own, something which is cool is you can roll it without the, without the filter, and probably not only save a lot of money, but also, probably much better take care of your health with that.
Yeah, I think as a nurse, what I have noticed over the years is that there is a higher incidence of lung cancer and all that since they've made those filters on the cigarettes. And then there's that great movie, I don't know if anybody has seen it, called The Insider, which Russell Crowe played the insider. He was a chemist for the tobacco company, and he noticed that they were putting all kinds of harmful substances into, and this is a true story. I actually went to the real insider's lecture one time, and
wow.
all these the things that you were just describing, 20, about fiberglass. But it's more than that. They purposely put chemicals. This sounds like a conspiracy. I realize that, but it's true. Apparently, they put these things into the filter that it increases the addictive potential of the tobacco. So that addiction to tobacco. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but people are having a real hard time quitting these days. Some people just can't quit.
Absolutely.
And it could be. And it would be to the benefit of the tobacco companies to be doing that so that the people don't quit. Now, we do have a lot of people who have quit, don't get me wrong, because they have, and I would be one of them. But now, you know, what we're talking about now is a whole different thing, because as my brother D.D. Delaney was saying last night on the phone, that the tobacco that is being used to sell to the millions of people all over the world is completely different than the tobacco that was used
Absolutely.
By the American Indians, you know. And so the tobacco itself is commercialized. It has all kinds of herbicides and pesticides in. The tobacco that Carol just said, that the American whatever, the American
American spirit.
The American spirit does not have any herbicides or pesticides in. So it would probably be, in fact, I am going to bring some of that down, Joan, to see what that's like. And we can share a little peace pipe. But I just think that it's important to realize that what is being sold by these major corporations is not in the best interest of
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, what's really cool, I've gone a few days without a cigar. You know, plain and simple, I goof up and I don't order any in and I'm not going out. And I've gone a few days without a cigar, without a problem. It just okay, no withdrawal, no problems at all. Because the cigar is just, it's natural tobacco that's aged. There's no chemicals put into it. If I was on cigarettes, it'd probably be a different story. When it comes to food, again, you know, tobacco is a plant. There's a plant called Queen Anne's Lace, and I want to make sure that I preface this by telling everyone to be very careful with what I'm about to say, because there's poisonous plants that look like Queen Anne's Lace. But Queen Anne's Lace is actually a wild carrot. So if you find that growing in your yard, among other things, make sure you use a good field guide to positively identify it if you don't have training. But Queen Anne's Lace is wild carrot. And if you dig Queen Anne's Lace, you will see a very, very small taproot compared to a commercial carrot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you eat Queen Anne's Lace, you can eat it, as far as I'm concerned, you can eat, the average person can eat a lot of carrots. They're not filling. But if you eat a few little Queen Anne's Lace roots, they're much, much smaller. But they will fill you up, just like garlic mustard. Garlic mustard is one of our favorite wild edibles. If you eat garlic mustard compared to commercial spinach, you will fill up again much, much faster, because you can't mess with Mother Nature. You know, if you're going to take tobacco and modify it and breed it so it's a commercial plant, it will, it can't help but be contaminated in some way. Just like how we took wild carrots and produced, commercial carrots. They're nowhere near as nutritional, nowhere near as good for us as the wild counterpart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just fascinating. It truly is.
I've got two possible uses for tobacco I'd love to share with the audience if you're interested. One is the cure for a lot of mental illness, and the other is a cure for cancer.
Okay, go for it.
Cool. Let's start with mental illness. Yeah, the tobacco smoked by most Native Americans, let's say in the old days, it was a blend. It would primarily have tobacco in it, but it also might have a little bit of sage. It might have a little bit of mullein. It might have a little bit of coltsfoot. Whatever you smoked was a blend that you found worked for you. It was primarily tobacco, but it also had other things cut into it. If you look at all these plants and you learn from an elder what they're good for and learn what plants are safe, that's probably even what's more important than learning what they're good for, but you learn which plants are safe and you notice what you're drawn to, let's say over a period of 2 to 5 to 10 years, you develop a blend that works for you. And you share that blend with your family who are genetically similar to you. Suddenly, you have people smoking tobacco blends, again, tobacco with a couple other local regional plants, and the thinking improves, the attitudes improve. Literally, you could look at every plant on the planet as potentially having some sort of psychotherapeutic effect.
And so if we were learning, again, last month we talked about the plants you need for healing grow close to home. Well, the
yeah.
plants you need to smoke grow close to your home as well. And so if we took the time to discover what plants are growing close to my home, which ones are safe to smoke, and you experimented a little bit, developing your blend, you couldn't help but find something that would enhance your your body's chemistry, your brain's chemistry,
mm-hmm.
and literally optimize the way that your brain works on a biochemical level. So when I talk about, let's say, mental illness, I'm not necessarily talking about extreme cases, but I can't help but notice that it would be extremely possible to cure depression and anxiety and other very common disorders at this point if people learned how to develop their own smoking blends and how to use them. I mean, how to smoke in at least a semi-sacred way. You know, taking some time every day to be quiet, to be thankful, to smoke your special blend, and notice again how that helps you rebalance and reconnect with your world.
Yeah.
So that's mental illness.
Yeah, I was going to say the American Indian of yesteryear, there was never any incidence of cancer in that population.
Absolutely. And you know, the cancer cure side of the coin, you know, if we're thankful, you know, if we're smoking in a sacred way, thinking in a sacred way, living in a sacred way, and if we're connecting with people in a sacred way, I really want to apologize for a second, Joan. I want to make sure I honor your statement earlier about connecting with people without agenda. I can't help but wonder if the isolation that we experience today, because as a society, there's so much focus on connecting with agenda and selling and dominating and controlling and putting up boundaries and all this crap. In the old days, you know, think about the Plains Indians. They lived in teepees. You know, around here in Pennsylvania, we lived in big round structures. You'd have multiple families living in one structure. We didn't have boundaries, but we learned how to respect one another. And when it comes to cancer, I can't help but notice that cancer is a cell or a group of cells that is functioning only for its own purpose, only for its own survival. Cancer is a cell or a group of cells that's functioning in a way that does not respect the rest of the body. It's literally cancer cells are out of control.
Yeah.
And when I look at our society, I see so much of the same thing. You know, the number one thing in internet marketing is answering the question, what's in it for me? Yeah. It's such a joke and it's such a shame, because what we really have to get to the point of, and again, this is, you know, related to tobacco, but it goes deeper than that even. What's my purpose? How am I here to serve? Tobacco has a purpose. Part of its purpose is being the thank you plant. How am I here to serve? What's my unique gift? You know, in the direction of the East, part of the direction of the East is honoring our uniqueness, our contrariness, our creativeness. And we've got to start to really dedicate some time as individuals to notice, how am I here to serve? And if I discover how I'm here to serve, I may not become the wealthiest person, and I will be very prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
And my tribe will become prosperous as well if I'm doing what I'm designed to do.
True. Very true. Well said.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. Because I think we've really lost something in our society with that. Not only on the internet, I mean, I think we've lost it. Not lost it totally. I think we can grab it back. But
I agree.
You know, the days, the afternoons of sitting on the front porch, or, you know, that's something to long for, to reproduce. That was good.
You know, I have a very interesting front porch phenomenon. We built these concrete steps down to the river, and then there's a long place. It's like a little concrete place where you can sit. And you can put a chair down there, but it's not that stable. So I just sit down there with the dog, and canoes go by, and you can wave to them and talk to them. And cool. But mainly it's very quiet there, and I can throw balls for Ulysses, and I used to do that for Mukunda. And of course, they just were in their heyday. But that's, to me, my new front porch. It's just this really, really neat place to hang out. And also the nature, the great heron. So all of a sudden you'll see a heron come, this huge ancient prehistoric creature comes flying down the river. And so that's my new front porch.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes, beautiful. And in fact, when you were saying that, I was thinking about the front porch again back in Wagner. And I mean, at that time, I could tell you when any flower in my yard had any bloom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were mm-hmm. outside.
In touch with nature.
I think we tend to stay in. In fact, as you're talking, I realize I have not been outside the doors today. And I will go for a walk as soon as we're off the phone. But yeah, you know, it's habitual. We stay in. And yeah, should be outside where we can, well, not only enjoy the nature, but we are fed by it.
Yes.
Yeah. Nourished.
Know,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are literally fed by it. Jessica and I love to go for walks and look for nature, as she calls it. But yeah.
Look for
you
nature.
Know,
that's sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about tobacco as a plant, you know, you can't help but share it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, when people who are cigar aficionados get together, they if they have an extra cigar, something that they really enjoy, they'll go, hey Kate, have you tried one of these yet? And if not, you know, they'll share, you know, and literally, you know. You know, our whole culture, we've got this John Wayne thing going on. We're strong, we're tough, we're independent, all that good stuff. And we end up isolating ourselves. And, you know, I can't help but just notice people that don't know tobacco like we know tobacco here, they still naturally want to share it. I mean, if they have a cigarette, though, if they're standing next to somebody, hey, you want to smoke? Or if you don't have one and you smoke, you'll ask, you know, even total strangers, they'll ask. And again, there may be part of an addiction component there, especially if you don't have the cigarette. But there's almost something built in. I really do think it is built in, but it's almost observable, where you can see people drawn together around, you know, tobacco smoke. And again,
wow.
we've got to connect with not only nature, but also other people. You know, other people are in nature, and they're the closest thing that we've got to ourselves. That we've got to take the time to really connect with other people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I used to really like to smoke cigarettes with my mom and my brother and my sister. And then anytime we got together, we'd run out and have a cigarette together. Or there is a sort of a culture around the people who do smoke cigarettes, going out and smoking together. And, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But it's all been sort of smashed apart with really bad, bad chemicals and people dying
Absolutely.
Of cancer and all this kind of stuff. And speaking, you were saying about mental illness. Now, it seems like I've observed a lot of mentally ill people smoke huge, huge amounts of cigarettes. And, you know, like 4 packs a day, that kind of thing. And that's tough on the system. I'm sure you don't smoke very many cigars a day when you have them.
You know, it's funny. Usually, Carol and I will smoke one, sometimes two. I've smoked as many as 5, as far as I can remember. But generally, you know, it's not like it's. You know, if I think about the days where I smoked 5, usually it would be because I'd be just bumping into friends that I hadn't seen for a while who were also cigar smokers, and the next thing you know, what we're enjoying a cigar together. You know, it's fascinating because it's not like an addiction. I really do think, like you said, the breeding of the tobacco to the way that it is now for commercial use, as well as the chemicals that are added in, you know, it really plays havoc on the system.
Yeah. And that is part of the thing, even now, that I miss about smoking cigarettes, is that sense of camaraderie that you were referring to. Yeah, that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. We talked one time, too. I had a friend that quit smoking. And we ended up deciding that the smoking was a part of the relationship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was, you know, part of...
How did you remedy that?
You know, I hate to tell you, but we're really not friends anymore. it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that until you were saying that, but it really is. It's, you know, come have a cup of coffee and, you know, that's just part of what you do. And, yeah, and when that was gone, then we felt a real change, a shift
mm-hmm.
in the relationship.
I
want to see more women smoking cigars and pipes.
I think that day's coming.
So do I. I want to see men do it as well, but at the same time, you know, I look at men, and you know, generally as a culture, men, gosh, we've made some huge mistakes, and I see women potentially making the same ones, and you know, generally when I look at, again, this is just my spin, that it's not necessarily real, but my perception is that men, you know, over a period of time, we've managed to really isolate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I see women potentially heading the same route. And, mm-hmm. you know, traditionally in Native American cultures, again, another little tidbit, but this is so cool. Women were understood to be the grapevine. You know, they were understood to be the communicators, the connectors. For example, when my friend Phil had a baby, I came home and told Carol, Phil's wife had a baby. And she said, what was it? I don't know. What's its name? Not a clue. Yeah, all I know is that Phil's wife had a baby and he was excited. You know, two men get together and, hey, my wife had a baby. Cool, man. You know, great. Everything okay. Everything's cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, catch you later. Goodbye. Click. You know, and we keep moving, you know. But women, you guys are the communicators. And, you know, men, I mean, it's understandable. Men are traditionally back in the caveman days and the tribal days, we were the hunters. You know, we would go out and, you know, even if we hunted in bands, we were silent because we had to bring critters home. That was what we did. But women, you know, you guys communicate. You guys talk and communicate and share information in ways that us as men cannot imagine. And if you all isolate yourselves like the men have, we're pretty much screwed. So, you know, when I say I'd love to see women getting together and smoking cigars or pipes, I really mean it, because you guys can carry conversations and connect in ways that men currently can't. And our culture needs that. You know, the natives honored that. They understood, yeah, women are the communicators. Women are the connectors. Women were, do you know why Sacagawea was on the Lewis and Clark expedition?
Go ahead. Why?
Sacagawea was what was known as a singer. When there was a group in the native communities known as singers, and the singers learned songs that were used for navigation. Sacagawea was a singer, and she knew the songs to help Lewis and Clark to get from here to there. And so when she traveled with them, literally she would sing the songs, you know, to herself or out loud, that let them know where to go so they could have safe passage. Now,
wow.
When they were met by other Indians, you know, from different tribes, you know, they would immediately, you know, she would immediately identify herself as a singer. And they wouldn't get killed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because she was a singer, but she would also teach the songs to the local singers, and they would teach her other songs, so that literally she was like a walking, living GPS unit. So Sacagawea, because she was a singer, was able to help them navigate and get safe passage because she was respected as a singer. And again, you know, a lot of the singers were women, because you guys get that. You guys can communicate on that realm. And as men, we can't. We're just not there. Maybe at one time we were, but historically, over the past several hundred years, we've become more and more isolated. And, you know, I would love to see women not do that.
Wow. Well, you know, speaking of smoking cigars and men and women, and it's really a traditional thing among men to smoke a cigar at the birth of a baby.
Yes.
And that's what I thought you were going to say when somebody told you they had a baby. I thought suddenly you sat down and shared a cigar, but that's not what you were going to say. That's great, though. Yeah.
Now, isn't that cool? You know, even non-natives, yeah, there's something. Yeah, I don't know where this cigar tradition comes from, having babies. I'm sure we could Google it and
find out. Yeah.
But there's something there. We understand it's time to give thanks. Let's smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, gosh, it's there. It's almost biological.
Celebration. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they had those smoking bars in actual, you know, alcohol bars and stuff like that. And that was really nauseating. You know, when I used to go to bars, and there'd be a lot of people smoking cigarettes in general and cigars, that would be just too much to smoke those things inside like that. So I would think smoking anything should be done outside, just because of there's something about the air, the oxygen, the outdoors, and then enjoying a smoke go hand in hand to me.
You know, Carol and I, in the summertime, we walk along the bike trail, which is part of the Great Allegheny Passage here in Connellsville, Pennsylvania. I feel like I'm reading ad copy for some reason. Anyway, so we walk along the bike trail smoking cigars. And, you know, there was one day, we're over at the river park and we're eating breakfast. We actually, a lot of times when it's warm out, we'll take some food over to the river park and cook it for breakfast on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll gather up some sticks, we'll cook some meat, maybe some eggs or something, and we eat breakfast in the park. And we'll finish up, smoke a cigar, you know, mastermind about the day, then move on. Well, this one day, we were leaving, and for some reason we decided to walk on the bike trail. And so, we always carry a couple extra cigars, and we both felt like lighting up a cigar. So we lit up cigars and started walking toward the bike trail. And we're walking past this elderly woman. And this elderly woman, she stops and she turns to us and she says, "Your cigar reminds me of my husband. He used to smoke cigars."
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to her for a few moments. And at the end, she told us, was it
her husband's birthday? He had died last year.
It was her husband's birthday. He had died the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of her from him.
Yes. So here we are. We're getting ready to go home. You know, we had already smoked a cigar, and we were in that creative, receptive space, that sacred space. And for whatever reason, we both had the urge to walk the bike trail. And we lit up cigars, and that was a gift for her,
right,
reminding her about her husband.
Right.
And
who actually visited you all at that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about the natives and praying and listening. You know, one of the biggest gifts that we can give the world is taking the time to be in silence, taking the time to just pray with thanksgiving. You know, we didn't know we were going to be a miracle that day. And as individuals, none of us know how many times a day, a week, a month, a year that we're miracles for people. They just don't bother telling us. If this beautiful woman actually told us, which was a gift to us, you know, the cigar smoke was a gift to her. Her telling that was a gift to us, because we've got a story to share now, and it's a story that who knows who that will touch. You know, you never know who you're going to be a blessing to.
Absolutely. I know, that's so neat. That's a great story. Oh, my. Just wonderful.
Hey, I've got the amazing Carol Wingard in the room here. I think she wants to say hello.
Hello again.
Nice to hear your voice, Carol. I saw you chatting away in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. I finally got in. It took me a while.
You have a great group out there tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to have a few people smoking something or other in the next few weeks.
Hope it's tobacco, not something
not,
other.
I was going to say I have no idea what, but we'll leave that up to the imagination.
Hey, I really want to thank you guys for allowing me to share, you know, just some stuff that's very dear to my heart. Today with y'all, because
we
it was great.
You know
it
that.
Was really great. We love it.
Thank you.
Totally. I
always learn something from you. I always have.
And always will.
Always will. Yep. Learn something. You throw your little nuggets of wisdom, and I grab what I can understand, and I'm thankful for it, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Booch.
Well, I will tell you all that next week my brother, D.D. Delaney, is going to be reading his poetry on this show.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. If you might all remember him doing the concise Dickens Christmas Carol around Christmas time. And as he likes to, he really is a great poet, and he talks about the poetry itself deals with his visions, his spiritual experiences, and he really is a peacenik. He's almost 70 years of age. I don't think he'll mind me saying that, because even though he's one of the youngest people I've ever met, both he and his wife, Jala, are very, very youthful people. So that's why it's stupid to even mention his age, but he is really quite amazing. So, everybody tune in. It'll be great.
That sounds good. We will enjoy, I'm sure.
Very cool.
Yes.
Well, and again, thank you, Twinny.
Yeah.
Thank
you,
Carol.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you
all have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Oh, we will. Thank you. And I'm going to play the music of C.D. Jensen. Here we go. C.D. Jensen from Denmark. Music for MotherAndChild.com. Thank you.